So if you'll take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 6, we will look at this beautiful passage that reminds us that this prayer is more than something to just be repeated. It is truly a pattern for living and a goal for the focus of our life and our heart. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Now, we've not repeated this out loud together at all. So I'll tell you what we will do. At the conclusion of our time here together, this is our final week of 6 weeks, I will say, pray then like this, and then if you'll read from the screen or from your translation, we're reading from the ESV together, and would you let this, now that we have an understanding a little more of what it means, let this be your prayer as we say it out loud together. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This beautiful passage, think through what we've looked at the past 6 weeks. Our Father. It's a reminder of our adoption, that we were adopted in Christ. We talked about the fact that people use the term an unplanned pregnancy. There's never been in the history of mankind an unplanned adoption. It was thought out and planned, and God adopted you. He chose you. We can come boldly to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We make the name of God holy when we trust him, when we revere him, and when we obey him. It is not just by speaking his name. We have to trust him, to revere him, to obey him, and we're praying and asking him to make himself holy in us. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember, that's we are asking God to adjust our perspective to his eternal perspective. We are praying for the ultimate culmination of his plan on this earth that is to come, and we're praying for God's will to be revealed to us through his word, in his people, and by his Holy Spirit. Your kingdom come. And then give us this day our daily bread. Remember, it is a prayer for provision, and it's a declaration of trust, but we must not confuse our wants and our needs. We trust God, and we declare our trust by investing in his word. And then last week, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I told you this last week, and I'll say it again. Your walk with Christ is affected by your heart toward others. Your discipline from the Father is connected to your heart toward others. Your joy and contentment is connected to your heart toward others. Your mental stability is often affected by our bitterness. Our physical health may be affected by our bitterness. If there's anyone that you've not been able to forgive, we must repent and make a choice to do so because of the forgiveness that God has shown to us. And so now here we are at week 6, the final part of this prayer, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, when you stop and really think about what you're saying there, it can be a little alarming, because if you follow the process of what you're saying, you have to stop and say, wait, is there a chance somehow God would lead us into temptation so we have to ask him not to do so? Let me be clear what the scripture says. James chapter 1, verse 13 settles that issue. It says this, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Friends, nothing in scripture would lead us to believe that God is playing some sort of cosmic game of chess with you and you are his pawn, that he is tempting you to see what you will and will not do. God is not sitting around in some great white throne room of heaven looking down at you trying to trip you up with his little pinky finger. That is not what is happening. What I would want you to know is this, lead us not into temptation is really a request for God to lead and direct our steps. In reality, God is always leading and guiding. But when we pray, lead us not into temptation, we are asking him to lead and guide our steps. But here's the secret. Now listen, this is important. The key to this prayer is you. The key is you. What do I mean? Lead us not implies that there is a desire to follow. If you're going to pray, lead us not into temptation, you are actually saying, God, I am willing to follow your lead. You see, that's a little different way to look at that. It's important because we pray, lead us not into temptation. But yet, are we truly willing to follow? I want to make a statement to you today that will seem oversimplified, but it's true. Everyone follows someone. You follow someone. Everyone is asked to follow multiple people. Your desire to do so and the attitude with which you do it greatly affect the outcome of you and the outcome of your life. Think about it for a moment. Everyone in here, if you work now or if you worked at one point or if you're going to work, you are asked to follow your boss. That's a true statement. How you do this and the attitude in which you do it affect your advancement in the workplace. It affects often your income. It affects the quality of your work day, and it always affects your testimony. You are also asked to follow the laws of society. How you do this and your attitude in which you do it will affect your happiness. It'll affect your place in life. It'll affect your ability to not go to jail if you want to follow the laws of society. And it will also affect your testimony. You have to follow the laws of society. You are asked to follow the leader in your home. Now, this is either someone else or it's you, but everyone has rules and expectations, don't they? Some are major, some are minor. I'll tell you about a couple expectations in the home that I am. There are five of us, six if you count our little dog who thinks he's human. But the six of us in our home, we have a few rules. We have multiple rules, but we have a few big ones. Here's one of them. No one is allowed to talk mean or disrespectful to an adult in our home. The consequences of doing so will affect the joy of your life. It affects the use of technology. And it often affects your gluteus maximus, okay? Are y'all with me? You understand what I'm saying? Who understood what I meant when I said that? Amen. Okay, all right. So it does. But there are minor rules also. That's a big rule. There are minor rules in our home also. No one is allowed to leave toys or paraphernalia all over the living room floor. Now, this is really a big one for me. I have some compulsive tendencies, and I want things to be a certain way. And so it is hard for me to see shrapnel all over the floor. And so I have a statement. If I brought my three sons up here, or even Lily would know the statement because I say it a lot, they would come up and they would be able to tell you what I say every time we see something. I'm going to shout out, or one of them's going to say, everything has a home. Everything has a home. Put it in its home or the home will be the trash. And that's how that works. And everything, try it at your house. Everything has a home or the home is the trash. And if you start throwing things away, everything gets better. I'm telling you, it works, okay? Your home has rules also. I don't know what yours are, but it does. Now, I'm one of the leaders of my home. My wife leads as well. But I want to say this. This is important. I am expected to follow the rules also. I am not above the rules simply because I lead. My desire and attitude in doing so affects my life as well. My children don't just pick up after themselves. I do as well. Some of y'all are elbowing your spouse right now, but whatever. So my kids don't just do chores in our home. I do as well. See, I'm going to follow my own lead, and I want to follow the lead of my spouse as we lead together. So your attitude and your obedience at work, among society, in public, in your home, and even in Christ, they all affect your life. Let me explain to you and show you a little bit about how this works. Now listen, we're about to do something we've never done before. That's got a few of you frightened, I'm sure, because when I say something like that, but we're going to play a quick game to prove my point. So I'm going to ask you, now listen, it's just the pastor, just hang in here with me for a minute. It'll be over in probably less than 60 to 70 seconds. Would you stand to your feet, please? Here's what we're going to do. We are going to play an ultimate game of Simon Says. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to be Simon. If you haven't played in many, many years, this is how it works. I will say, Simon says do something, and you have to do it as I say. Once you mess it up, or if you do it when Simon didn't say, you're out. Now listen, this is church. Not only is God watching, your neighbors are watching. The people online are watching because there's little cameras in this room. So if you get out, don't cheat. Sit down. The Lord will know is what I'm saying, okay? So everyone, now, and if you want, here's a secret. If you don't like to do things like this, just mess up really early. You can sit down and be out. You understand how this works, okay? I hadn't started yet, so stand back up. Okay, here we go. All right, you guys ready to start? All right, everybody touch your nose. Simon didn't say you guys are out already. Have a seat. This is going to be a fast game. Okay, here we go. Simon says touch your nose. Simon says, put your hand down. Simon says, touch your ear. Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, touch your ear. Touch your nose. Oh, you guys are out. All of you sit down. That's pitiful. Okay, let's keep going. Simon says, put your hand down. Simon says, now, if you can't physically do some of this stuff, that's okay. Don't hurt yourself, okay? But Simon says, clap your hands one time. Put your hands down. Simon didn't say. The rest of you are out. Okay, here we go. Simon says, put your hands down. Now, that was easy. We're going to speed up. Are you ready? Here we go. Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, touch your ear. Simon says, touch your chin. Simon says, touch your nose. This is your nose. That's your chin. You're out. Okay. Thank you very much. We're down to a little less here. This is your nose. Okay. Put your hands down. Put your hands down. Oh, see, you're good. All right. Good. All right. Here we go. Simon says, put your hands down. All right. You don't really have room to hop. You're safe. We're not going to do any hopping. But Simon says, touch your head. Simon says, touch your chin. Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, touch your chin. Touch your ear. Oh, got a couple that way. I got to figure out how to narrow this down quicker here. I'm not going to make you bark or do anything like that. So, okay, everybody, let's put your hands down. We'll start. Okay, let's see. Oh, if you put your hands down, you're out. Okay. Simon says, put your hands down. Okay. Simon says, sit down. I can't sit down. I'm sorry. Simon says, sit down. Simon says, stand up. Okay, sit down. Some of you almost did. Okay. How am I going to get rid of you guys quickly? All right, we got to hurry. I have more of a sermon to preach here. Okay, we'll speed up again. This time, Simon says, use both hands. Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, touch your ears. Simon says, touch your nose. Put your hands down. Oh, if you put them down, you're out. Simon says, put your hands down. Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, touch your chin. Simon says, touch your ear. Touch your nose. Gotcha, you're out. Okay, put your hands down. Okay, here we go. You're out. Okay, all right. Simon says, put your hands down. We're down to just a few. You people follow the rules well. Simon says, put your hands down. Okay. Simon says, touch your head. Simon says, touch your belly. Simon says, touch your shoulder. Simon says, touch your ear. Simon says, touch your head. Simon says, touch your chin. Touch your nose. Pretty good. Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, touch your chin. Simon says, touch your belly. Simon says, touch your head. Simon says, touch your nose. This is your nose. Okay, all right. You get the rest of it. Sorry. Okay, put your hands down. Here we go. Simon says, put your hands down. Simon says, raise one arm. Simon says, put it down. Simon says, raise it again. Simon says, put it down. Simon says, raise it down, up and down real fast. Simon says, go up and down real fast. Whew, I'm getting hot. This is good. Okay, put your hands down. You can stop. You can stop. You're out. Okay, if you stopped, you're out. Simon didn't say you can stop. It's just one person. It's just you. All right, Stacy Moffitt. Come here, Stacy. You didn't know. I didn't tell anybody ahead of time, but I had a prize basket. Now, this basket has all kinds of goodies and candies. It has a little gift card for a free movie for Netflix so you can have a family movie night. It's prized at $20. So there you go. Thank you very much. You're welcome. Now, here's what I would say. Some of you were thinking, I didn't know there was a prize. I would have tried harder. That's my point. Listen, when it comes to following the leader, some people say, I don't want to do that. I look ridiculous. I'll sit down. I'll just get out real quick. But if you knew there was a prize, you would have tried a little harder. Friends, there is always a prize when you follow the leader. And let me explain what I mean by that. There is always a prize. Your desire to follow the Lord and your attitude as a follower always affect the outcome of our lives. It always affects our individual lives. It will always do so. There is a prize, and that prize is walking in obedience for Him. It's avoiding a lot of the pitfalls of life. So before you pray, lead us not into temptation, I have to ask you a hard question. Do you really desire to follow Jesus? Do we really desire to walk in purity? Do we really desire to live the life he has planned for us? I said it earlier, I'll say it again. God is not trying to trip you up. In fact, he is clear that he wants to guide and protect you. It says in Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. Do you catch that beautiful word picture that the psalmist gives us? You picture the Father, God, holding the Son, just like fathers in this room have held the hands of their children. And though they trip and fall, how many times have you helped your children walking along and they trip and fall and you've got that arm and so you just lift them right up and just keep going? You've all done it. You've helped them from not falling and hurting themselves. That is what this verse tells us that God is willing to do for us. He establishes our steps. We delight in his ways. And though we fall, we will not be cast headlong. He upholds our hand. He helps us. That is his desire. So that gives a little more perspective when we pray that prayer, our Father. Because think how many dads in this room have protected your children from a fall. How many times you've done that. Our Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When we say lead us not into temptation, you are basically making a commitment that says, Father, I will follow your lead. And I know there is a prize. The prize is purity. The prize is right relationship with you. The prize is not having to learn a lesson the hard way. There are all kinds of prizes to following the leader. But then when we pray, but deliver us from evil, we are asking him to actively help us when we are tempted. There's two scriptural principles that I want you to remember today if you're writing things down. They're short and sweet. We've talked about them before, but they have to be repeated again because they fit in this context right here. And here they are. Number one, the devil did not make you do it. We all know the older ones of us in this room, maybe not some of the youngest in the room, but are all familiar with the Flip Wilson statement, the devil made me do it. Friends, it is good theology that you learn the devil didn't make you do anything. The devil didn't make you do it. The last part of 1 John 4:4 says this, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So hear this, this is important. Satan does not make you give in to temptation. The God living inside of you is greater than the enemy roaming around you. The Holy Spirit who is empowering you is greater than the tempter standing behind your temptation. It is always the case. The devil did not make you do it. In fact, we can take it a step further. Not only did the devil not make you do it, number two, God always, always gives you a way out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we've read it many times right here from this platform. It says this, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us that God will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able, but it also tells us that every temptation is common to man. That means this, all of us face multitudes of temptations, but God, it says, provides the way of escape that we may be able to endure it. Just as Will talked about earlier when he was setting up one of the songs, it was a reminder of the fact that God is the one, the Holy Spirit provides a way of escape for us. Think of it in these terms. God is your temptation filter. He is not going to allow a temptation to come to your life that you and he together cannot withstand. It's not going to happen. He will always be ready and able to deliver you from the evil that comes or from the evil one. He will always be ready to do so. Now, that doesn't mean that Blake's temptations are the same as mine or that Will's temptations are the exact same as mine. They are common to man, meaning we can face the exact same temptations in life. But my own flesh is unique to me, where Will's is unique to him, Blake's is unique to him. So different ones of us, by our own flesh, will struggle with temptation to different degrees. But the scripture is clear that the living God, the creator of the universe, makes the way of escape for you. So what does that mean for you? That means the same old temptation that might bother us all differently in this room. I'm sure I've used the illustration before, but I'll just say it again. I don't drink alcohol. I've never tasted it. The most I've ever had was maybe a little Formula 44D when I was really sick. I just don't. I just never have. And so I don't have a temptation to drunkenness. Drunkenness is a sin. The scripture's clear. But I have never had a temptation to be drunk because I don't drink. And so here's the deal, though. I would still say that's a temptation. The same for every person to drunkenness. But I don't struggle with that temptation because I don't drink. Now, gluttony is a temptation for all of us. But you skinny people, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, that's not a nice way to put it. Little bitterness there. I'm still dealing with last week's message. But those of you that have high metabolisms, you are not. Anyway, I'm sorry. I can look at a donut and, but it's just the way it happens. But for me, I can struggle. I'm never going to struggle for drunkenness, but I will struggle for overeating, for overindulging. If, most of you know, what do you need to put in front of me? That's terrible. See, I'm way too open and honest with you all. But yes, donuts. There's a regular Krispy Kreme, not just donuts. Let's get real. All donuts are not created equal. So, but if you put a box of hot, fresh Krispy Kreme in front of me, and I just ate a nice, big, large meal, and a normal, sensible person would say, I am full, and I will not feel good if I eat one of those, so I shall refrain. I would say, I need some donuts, and I would eat one, because the temptation is strong for me. But some of you, that would be no big deal. Why? My flesh is different than yours. Now, we could go on to different subjects, and we could talk about lust. We could talk about short fuse anger. We could talk about rage. We could talk about gossiping. And every person in this room is different. But please understand, 1 Corinthians 10:13, and we'll talk about this a little bit next week with Proverbs. There are Bible verses that are principles, meaning that they share a general truth for all mankind. But then there are verses that are promises. The problem is we get the two confused sometimes. 1 Corinthians 10:13 can be read and understood as a promise for all believers. If that is the truth, that means that you have never been tempted beyond your ability to withstand it, not once as a believer. Now, reconcile that with the fact that you have sinned. And when was the last time you gave in to temptation? And make sure that in this hard moment, you're able to stop and say, that was my doings and not the Lord's. I chose to sin. Because the scripture's clear, he provides the way of escape for you and for me. And so we want to do our best to follow the leader. So when you pray, lead us not into temptation, simply say to the Father, God, I really want to follow your lead. Today, I want to follow you and not my own plan. Deliver me from evil. Father, when I'm tempted, I can trust already that you're going to filter that temptation, not let it be more than I can handle. And if I'm walking in the power of your Spirit and I'm walking closely to you, I can do this because you are at work in me. So I would encourage you to stop and reflect on what that means for you. It truly can be life-changing. That means if you feel like there's something you're just going to give in to every time, that is not truth. That is not truth. The devil wins already if he's convinced you of that. Understand that greater is he who is in you than he who is on the earth, than he who is in the world. So what would the next step be for you today and for me as we say this simple little prayer? Well, first of all, I would simply say this. Remember, all this hinges on the fact that you're praying and asking the Father to lead you. So you have to ask, do you know the Father? If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, I would say this to you. God is holy, and God is just, and God is merciful, and God is righteous, and God is good, and God is forgiving, but he is not yet your Father. I would encourage you to allow him to adopt you into his family, to receive the eternal gift of salvation that he provides. If you do not know Jesus, would you come and let me share with you how you can know him in just a few moments? I won't pressure you. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to him, come to him. But for the rest of us that do know him, before you pray, lead us not, would you stop and say, God, am I really willing to follow? Do I think my way is better? Or am I really willing to follow? And if you say, sometimes I'm following my own ways, well, maybe you want to just repent. Get on your knees for a moment and just repent. Say, God, I want you to be the leader. I want to follow the leader. I know there's a prize at the end of following you, and that's a right walk with you. That's purity and holiness. So I want the prize. I want to follow the leader. Maybe for some of us in this room, we need to stop and check our attitude toward Jesus, toward our work, toward our family, toward this faith family, and we would make a commitment that we will follow well. Maybe in your home, if you're the leader and you've not been leading well by example, I would encourage you, dads, let me speak to you for a moment. If you've got children that you desperately want them to understand the truth of Scripture, but you don't lead by example, you just tell them what to do and you don't participate in following the lead as well, you're not painting them a good picture of the Heavenly Father. And I would encourage you and myself, let's paint the proper picture of our Father. Maybe for others, it's in the workplace, and you realize that if we were going to follow the leader scripturally, I've got to do and be my best and let my testimony be its best in the workplace. For some of us, we follow the earthly leader not so well, and when we don't follow the earthly leader in the workplace well, we're not following the eternal leader well either. We want to represent Jesus well in your workplace. Listen, where you work, whether you love it or hate it, whether it's a place that you tolerate or a place that you can't wait to get to every day, let me say to you, you are God's man or woman on the scene there. And so you get to represent Jesus. So are you leading well? And are you following well? Are you following the leader well? And then lastly, maybe for some, it's just this, is that we need to confess and own our own sin. We need to stop saying, well, this is just bigger than me, or my family has dealt with this for generations, so I'm just going to deal with it. No, we need to stop and say, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of 1 Corinthians 10:13, the truth of who Jesus is in me, I can walk in freedom. One step at a time, letting Jesus do the work in me, because he's the only one who brings salvation. He's the only one who leads us to the right path, asking him to do so. Would you bow with me with your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? We are going to sing the same song we sang a little earlier, Lord, I Need You. Will's going to sing it for us and we'll just join in. And I want you to think about those words, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one defense. You're my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Would you let that be your prayer? If you're going to pray, lead us not into temptation. You're saying, God, I need you. I need you to lead and I need to follow. I'm committing to follow you. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our faith family. Maybe you want to come give your life to him. Maybe you need to just spend a couple of minutes on your knees before the Lord. Whatever he is saying to you in this moment, would you respond? Father God, please have your way among us. Father, lead us in this place. And Father, I thank you for the opportunity to sing to you. May we respond now as you lead. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together. You sing, you come, I'm here. Come to the altar, whatever you need.